Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Oi oi, Melon Farmers. This is the IGN UK podcast. This is episode 244 again. Are we doing episode 244 again?
Yes, 244
again. Why are we
again.
Doing episode 244 again? I'm Daniel Cooper. I'm joined by the beardy Chris Tilley.
Hello, pod people.
And the magical Richard Burpard.
Hello. Who's so magic that he made last week's podcast, which we did record, he made it disappear, didn't you, Rich?
I did.
I'll make it come back.
I couldn't make it come back.
I'll make it come back.
I'm not that good.
So yeah, I guess we kick off with an apology, because not only did we lose last week's podcast, or we weren't able to publish it, but it was actually a really good one. I'm quite sad.
It's probably the best one that's ever been recorded.
I was relaxed. I had fun. I was engaged throughout.
Banter was had and enjoyed by all.
Yeah. We did a good talking point, which maybe we won't say what it is, because maybe we can use it in a future show.
There is some talk that the podcast maybe is not salvageable, but we were going to maybe put it out on the IGN UK podcast Facebook group that some of the listeners have
set up.
Duck Hunt.
Maybe explain what happened.
So what happened is we've got a piece of kit called a TriCaster, and it records... It records our podcast.
Is that kind of like a visual audio mixer?
It's a visual broadcast mixer, if you like. Yeah. And basically, it went wrong. And went
that was
all
a
glitchy.
Waste of money, wasn't it? That was a waste of 10 grand.
Yep. So we've got a very glitchy podcast, video and audio form, which you can have if you want, but there's just parts of it which are a bit unbearable to listen to.
What, is it like stuttery?
Yeah.
I think we should put it out there for the people who really love the pod.
But then we can't do that talking point again.
Well, you can't hear it anyway,
we just do it better.
All right.
It'll be like Dylan's basement tapes.
So am I right in thinking you've still got a job here?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me. But
yeah.
Although we are looking for new video people.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah. no coincidence. Let them do the podcast interview.
So yeah, a massive apologies that there was nothing to listen to last week.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and we don't have any feedback this week because we did it all last week.
No feedback. So, but we'll make this one doubly good to make up for it.
That's a lot of pressure now. So what have we been up to apart from crying over the lost podcast, Chris?
Well, I went to a very special screening of Flash Gordon at the British Museum. Now, you went last year, didn't you, Dan, to a screening there?
I did.
There.
I went to last year as part of the BFI's Gothic season that ran from October to January, I believe. Mm-hmm. They put on three classic horror movies outside on the lawn, and I went to see The Mummy, which is very cool because scenes of that, it's the Hammer Mummy, take place in the British Museum.
That's cool.
What did you see?
I saw Flash Gordon, scenes of which do not take place inside the British Museum.
But equally special.
But you were sitting with the plebs. I sat in the VIP seats.
Yeah, all right.
Which meant that I got to sit by Michael Hodges, the director, who's a bit of a hero of mine, made Get Carter, and Brian Blessed.
Your best mate.
And I went and spoke to Brian Blessed and did a picture with him and had a chat, and he swore loads. He told two sex stories. just to me and my missus. And then he went up on stage and told more sex stories and swore. Wow. He swore so much, and the guy had to apologise, the host, saying, thanks, Brian, for using the F word that many times at this family screening of the PG rated Flash Gordon. And he kind of grabbed the microphone off him and swore some more. And it was just like this burly cartoon character bounding around.
Is he just always like that?
Yeah, he's never always like that. I've interviewed him once before, only over the phone, and then spoken to a variety of people who've met him, and he's always on. He's always like that, which I think would
and
drive you mad
can't
after.
Help swearing?
No, he loves to swear.
Great.
And you could just hear him going around just every now and then. You'd hear, because he went and spoke to a few people. He came out of the VIP area just to do pictures or whatever and do interviews, and every now and then you'd hear from the distance that Gordon's alive. Like, he just loves
doing
it. That
he doesn't mind doing it at all.
No, I think he was doing an interview with the BBC and he did it at least twice during the interview.
Is he like having his picture taken with people? Is he a nice,
yeah, he was fun. Like, I was watching the BBC celeb. I think it was BBC, and it was quite funny. They did the interview and then they asked for a picture, and then the publicist asked to get in the picture, and then the cameraman asked if he could put down his video camera, and he got in the bit, like everyone wanted a picture with Blessed. Yeah,
he doesn't.
But the film was great. It's really is one of my favourite comic book movies, because it's just, it's way out there. It's camp. And it looks like a comic book brought to life. It's all these vivid prime colours, and it's just, it's crackers really, but strangely adult material. Like, there's a lot of S&M stuff underneath the surface that's quite bizarre, and there's a weird thing about Ming and his daughter. You know, clearly they've gotten it on, and it's like, this is weird in like a family
Minging
comic book. That's good pun. But yeah, if you haven't seen Flash Gordon, check it out. And that was kind of a precursor to the BFI sci-fi season, which is called Days of Fear and Wonder, and that's running at the BFI on the South Bank, but also at cinemas all across the country, all over the BBC iPlayer, the TV stations, from October to December. And I'm sure we're going to do lots on that nearer the time.
I don't think they've announced the specific screenings yet, but you can register your interest and when like booking goes online.
Yeah.
But they've named a lot of films that will be a part of it, and there's a lot of biggies, some more interesting titles as well.
Yeah,
should do TV stuff as well.
There's a screening of 2001 I'm definitely going to go to, because I've never seen that on the big screen and I've been kind of waiting for the right opportunity. And then another thing I was interested in is a documentary about Gerry Anderson.
Oh, nice.
Which I think would be having its world premiere, so
that
maybe we'll do a review of that.
Yeah.
Anyone else done anything?
I just moved out of my flat, but that's not very interesting or pod worthy.
No.
So skip that.
My flat's on the market.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you need
anyone's
to buy
interested,
yeah, get in touch with me direct, or don't. Rich, you been up to anything?
Nope.
All right, so shall we very much move on to news?
Do the
Let's
news.
Let's go on to the
Some
news.
Stuff has been happening in the tech world, Richard.
Yes, the tech world has been alive and well with the IFA happening in Berlin over, well, this is going out on a Friday, so it'll be 2 days ago.
or if you're listening in a year...
Again.
A year and 2 days.
Yes.
You're listening in 10 years.
What's
10 years and 2 days.
What's the news?
Well,
Rich?
Okay. So as we know, virtual reality is becoming increasingly popular, and with Facebook buying Oculus Rift, as we know, and Samsung has unveiled their version of their VR headset, and it's called the Gear VR. So along the same lines as the Galaxy Gear Watch and all that kind of stuff that they're trying to get you to use with their phones. So it's a wearable virtual reality device which is powered by Oculus. So it's got the same kind of technology that...
So they made it in association with Oculus.
Yeah, and so it's got kind of like the bubbled glass on the insides, which is what you're looking through. It's powered by the Galaxy Note 4. So this is the interesting thing about this, is it's kind of a self-contained unit. It's not hooked up to any wires. It's completely...
So you pop your phone in it?
Yep. It's got a little panel on the front, which you take off. Your Samsung Galaxy Note 4 goes in there. You pop it back on, and then that's actually what powers it. So all the brains are in the actual device itself. So you've got like your accelerometer, your gyroscope, your proximity sensor. That's all in there. And it basically just powers it from the phone.
Are you getting this, Chris?
Interesting.
What do you think? So if you buy the headset, it's like a shell, and then you pop your phone in it, and that's the kind of electronics in
that's
it.
That's the power, That's what it gives it.
So you can turn your phone into a VR headset?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's bonkers.
I mean, it comes preloaded with a couple of films. I think you've got like an Avengers thing on there, so you can pretend to be Tony Stark. There's a couple of games, like space games in there.
So Have they mentioned anything about pricing on this? Because surely the headset then, the phone's the expensive part. You've already got that if you've got a Samsung Galaxy.
There's no word on price yet, but they're saying it's coming out this fall, so that's really close.
It's kind of like a head cradle, isn't it? It's a head-mounted cradle.
The Samsung Galaxies are quite big and bulky, though.
Yeah,
and you're going to attach that to your head.
Well, it goes on the front.
Well, the phone's like that, so you just slide it into the panel.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, that is the screen.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm intrigued. I need
imagine
to have a look
that.
At it.
Get on the tube and just, there you go.
They're obviously trying to connect it with games as well as films.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the only kind of control that you can use at the moment is there's a touch panel on the side of it. And instead of using like a physical controller, so like Oculus Rift, where you'll have a controller like in front of you, say like a 360 controller in front of you or whatever. Well, that's how they've been demoing it anyway. This doesn't have that. So I'm sure there'll be external controller support eventually.
Gear Watch.
Yeah, probably. Use Google Voice.
Probably Bluetooth controller you can pair with the phone anyway.
Yeah, but that's not kind of been talked about yet.
You know what I'm not looking forward to is people using VR in public spaces, because that's inevitable. Like, it's annoying enough that people... Are you drawing on the sofa?
Mm.
What are you doing?
Just diddling.
It's not school, Chris.
Doodling.
People using that in public. It's annoying when people like take photos with iPads. I just can see people starting to use VR in public spaces. That will be, be quite annoying.
On long journeys, I think.
Yeah, I think
quite
on a plane or a train. I'm trying to think where else I'd use it.
Bit weird in your living room, I think. Still.
Yeah.
Depending
on
what the experience is.
Every couple of years, I seem to go down and try a demo of a new VR headset that never takes off.
Oculus.
It's been going on for years though, and I guess Oculus is the one that.
I think it's like it'll take one that nails it and makes it easy, and it's like it's an epiphany moment. It's like touchscreens and iPads and iPhones.
Mm.
Touchscreens were always terrible, like at train stations, all that sort of like really rubbish.
All needed a stylus,
and then somebody did it. Did it well, and now touchscreens are just pretty much ubiquitous.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is hard to see virtual reality becoming so popular that everyone's kind of walking around with them on. But
who knows? Who knows what the future holds?
I don't.
No.
So, yeah.
I do.
What does it hold, Chris?
It holds a new superhero movie.
They're going to make another superhero movie.
See what
I've
done there? See that link?
That was a nice link.
So, Dwayne Johnson has been linked with the Shazam movie for about 5 years now. And the question mark was always over if he was cast in the movie, would he play the good guy, Shazam, or would he play the bad guy, Black Adam? And we recently thought it was definitely Shazam because he kind of spoke to Total Film and did this very strange interview where he kind of said, I'm not going to say what it is, who I'm playing, but just say the word. And it made us all think, well, he's playing Shazam. Because that's the word that Billy Batson says to turn into the superhero character. But today, or yesterday rather, or this week even, he announced on his Twitter, and it got announced to Variety as well, that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to play Black Adam, who is kind of the villain of the movie. So that's a slight surprise, but I think it's because we'd all kind of got used to the thought of him playing the hero.
Mm.
But he's kind of like a Shazam-like character, Black Adam. He's an Egyptian prince.
Similar powers.
Yeah, similar powers, which are like Superman's powers. He was a real baddie back in the day, but more recently they've kind of pitched him as kind of an anti-hero, trying to clear his name.
And am I right in saying that when Dwayne The Rock Johnson tweeted it, he used the hashtag anti-hero?
He used the hashtag anti-hero. So I think there's going to be a lot more to this than meets the eye, really, because you don't cast him in your superhero movie just to play the villain in one movie. So I think this is going to be Black Adam spin-offs, or
is he a Loki type?
Yeah,
I've seen people make Loki comparison, that or Magneto.
Magneto, who both of whom haven't had a spin-off movie yet, but may well do.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. But also, I mean, Jim and Joshua had a chat about it on the site yesterday, and they were talking about the fact that it's quite similar to past roles that The Rock played.
Yeah.
Scorpion King and Hercules have pretty similar backstories to Black Adam.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes him a good fit, but equally, have we seen it all before?
Well, he can definitely play a villain, even as The Rock in WWE. He was a good villain in
He's great, isn't he? Yeah. Like, the charisma, like, if you need another big star, like, because, you know, some people might say that Henry Cavill is maybe not the, you know, the most charismatic of leads. Maybe you don't want that for Superman.
Yeah.
The Rock has charisma in abundance.
He does. Mm. He's a likable heel. I guess that's what this guy's going to be. This character's going to be.
Quite strange to see him and Jesse Eisenberg have a scene together. I can't really imagine them on camera together.
Yeah, well, they talked about the tone of the film. They haven't really said whether it's going to be in the same universe as Batman v Superman, because tonally it sounds like it's going to be very different. It's going to who's this guy? Toby Emmerich, who's the New Line Cinema president, said it feels to me like Shazam will have a tone unto itself. It's a DC comic, but it's not a Justice League character, and it's not a Marvel comic. The tone and the feeling of the movie will be different from the other range of comic books. Movies. It will have a sense of fun and a sense of humour, but the stakes have to be real. They've got a guy called Darren Lemke doing the screenplay, and he did Shrek Forever After and Jack the Giant Slayer.
Oh, now I'm excited.
Yeah, I want to see it now.
But we won't read too much into
that. No, because you often see that screenwriters have worked on some bad movies. It might not. It's nothing to do with their script.
I remember hearing the Jack the Giant Slayer script was supposed to be very good
as well,
but the film wasn't. So now they've got to find a guy to play, Captain Marvel, Shazam.
It's weird that it's not the kind of saying that it might not be linked to the other movies.
Mm.
They
haven't said much either. They haven't said anything either way.
It's just that's strange messaging. Because one would just assume that it's going to be somehow part of the bigger universe.
Who knows? Maybe they haven't decided.
Maybe they don't know.
But they've got a cast Shazam now. So any ideas as to who should play the goodie, the superhero in this movie?
No, I don't really know much about Shazam in general. I'm more of a, I've always been more of a Marvel boy. Mm. But he used to be called Captain Marvel, didn't he?
He did.
And then there was a court ruling where they had to rename the character because Marvel, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, which is a shame because I like the name Captain Marvel. But our guys in the States suggested Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it'd reunite the G.I. Joe cast.
Yeah.
Joshua liked Rob Riggle.
Really? I can see you, because he's supposed to be quite... I guess if they're going for that lighter tone as well.
Yeah. And he's really a man, because it's kind of like a superhero version of Big.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's a kid. It's a kid in a man's body. So I guess you've got to have someone that's got a sense of fun and like a childlike kind of innocence to them. Which I think Channing Tatum definitely has, because he plays dopey quite well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And maybe Rob Riggle has. He's certainly got a twinkle in his eye. And I tell you what, he'll be believable in the action scenes, because he used to be a soldier.
Rob Riggle,
yeah.
Really?
For years, yeah. He's only just left, I think his National Guard, maybe. And he has been all the way through his Hollywood career. He's been taking time off to serve in the National Guard. So he's proper tough.
This sounds like a strange project to me.
It does, but you know what? It sounds different. Like,
interesting. Like, I wonder if they are going to pitch it more at a younger audience, because it's just a weird project, because of all the characters to come out with next, it's definitely, I don't think, one of the more recognisable.
Mm.
I suppose Green Lantern flopped a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought we'd hear a Flash announcement first, or Aquaman.
Yeah.
But...
Yep. Well, have we got any more superhero news, Daniel?
We do indeed, Christopher. Nice link again. So, we know Doctor Strange is happening, even though it's kind of not been officially announced still. I think it's still not been officially. Didn't say it at Comic-Con. We know Scott Derrickson is directing it, though, and lots of actors are in the line to play Stephen Strange. One of them that's quite strongly tipped is Joaquin Phoenix. Now, there's a report out there that one of the reasons why we've not heard more on the movie is they're having trouble locking down the lead actor. And Joaquin Phoenix, in particular, because he might be balking at the prospect of doing a multi-picture deal. He's not that kind of actor. He's been more selective in the roles he's picked throughout his career. He's never been kind of part of a big franchise. Secondly, I think there's some concerns about whether Joaquin Phoenix can do this type of movie. He's obviously a great actor, if you see The Master or pretty much any of these films. He's a great actor. Whether he can do special effect work, whether he can do CGI, whether he can work in those kind of environments. And I think that's why Marvel, that's what the rumour is, that's why Marvel have kind of not announced him as Doctor Strange yet.
Interesting. I can see him as Doctor Strange. I mean, he's got a very odd personality, hasn't he?
he's just weird.
He's a complicated character.
That's the right word. Complicated.
He's just an amazing actor.
He is.
It would be a massive coup for them. But it's a weird thing to say. If this is true, we have doubts about him, whether he can do previs and like fight scenes on green screen. If he's a great actor,
yeah, exactly.
That is acting.
That's a weird thing to say.
That is just acting. Again, this is a rumor. This isn't coming from Marvel. Or anywhere official. That is the essence of acting. I'm remembering what Ian McKellen says to Ricky Gervais's character in Extras. He goes, "What I do, I imagine myself as that character in that scene, and then I say the lines that are written, and that is acting. That is my method. Surely Joaquin Phoenix can be an actor in front of a green screen. The other thing is, I'm sure he's done theatre before.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very strange. It depends if he bounces well off people, like if that's his preferred method, I guess.
It's a very strange thing to leak out. But we did a superhero show on casting Doctor Strange.
Sounds a great actor.
And I think he was my pick. Yeah. I think my other favourite was Daniel Day-Lewis, but I thought he'd never do it. But Joaquin Phoenix was the one I thought if they could do it. Like, he just seems like the most interesting choice.
Yeah,
he really does. I hope they can sort that out because I think the movie becomes much more interesting if you've got an actor like him
on board. Like, that's incredible. Yeah, like this that monologue he does in The Master. Imagine him doing something like that as Doctor Strange. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So hopefully that turns around.
Cool. Well,
if true, even.
Even if there is a remote possibility of him playing that role, I'd like to see it. Which leads me on very nicely to the next piece of news.
Well, we'll be the judge of that.
Remote play. Do you get it?
It feels a bit forced, but
let's
go with it.
I'll work on it. So PS4 Remote Play is hitting Sony devices, namely the Xperia Z3 compact. The Xperia Z3 and the Xperia Z3 compact and the Xperia Z3 tablet, which were announced at the IFA. I know. Okay. So, as we know, we've got Remote Play on the Vita already, which allows you to play games over your home Wi-Fi in a different room. If your PS4 is turned on, you just pause it, go into another room, and play it on your Vita. So now this is coming to the Sony tablets, so you'll be able to do the same thing.
Only Sony tablets and phones.
That's the issue.
And they said they had no intent of bringing it to Android or iOS. So I just, you know...
Obviously, it's really closed off, isn't it?
And yeah, but it's obviously the secret weapon, and I can't imagine it making anyone buy a Sony tablet instead of an iPad, really, or an Android tablet if that's what they wanted. And it's obviously a cool selling point for the phones and stuff, but I just can't imagine people really...
The only way I can see it being a possibility is if someone has the Z3 phone and you can play it outside of your home network. Or if they're really into it, if they're really into gaming and they want to play it on a long commute to work every day, being able to play it on your phone that way.
I just don't think, but the experience will be shonky. Even if you're out on the phone and you're playing PS4 on your commute, it's not going to look great. You might as well play a Vita.
Yeah.
Or just not bother. Like, I really don't think, I just don't think it'll be that good. It's as simple as that. No. I just don't think the quality would be that good to warrant buying a Sony phone, particularly for this niche feature that won't function that well out and about.
So it's only in your home Wi-Fi network, and you know, if you're constricted to your home, then just play it on your TV.
You can do remote play over externally, from the office, but I don't know whether they'll close that at some point. You're going to get an iPad, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the better device.
But then they'll never bring it to iPad because then I just think the bottom falls out of their tablet market.
Yeah,
because then you're basically admitting defeat.
But I mean, surely it's going to come eventually.
It doesn't have to.
I don't know. I just feel like it would. There'll be a lot of demand for it if it works to iOS and Android.
I can imagine PlayStation Now coming to other tablets, but you might do it after a couple of years just to see whether you can drum up interest in your kind of native tablet market. Yeah.
But interesting news. I mean, these phones and tablets, they're super high spec. They've got really impressive specs to them, and the cameras are insanely good, and they're just not... There's just something missing from them that I feel you get with an iPhone. Do you know what I mean? You get a certain experience when you use an iPhone rather than using one of these.
Well, I don't know, because they're Android based. So, I don't know. We're talking in circles here, I think, really. But you were just saying you hate Sony and you need to get over it, Rich.
Hey, I don't hate Sony. I just don't like their phones or tablets. But there you go. Remote Play is hitting Xperia Z3.
Good.
There you go.
All right, so moving on. This week we have a film coming out called The Guest, which I really very much liked. It's got Dan Stevens of Downton Abbey fame playing a mysterious stranger who comes into the life of this family and messes things up. and it all turns violent and weird. But the film kind of starts out as a thriller and then turns into a black comedy, and then it goes way off in another direction in a totally different genre. So it got me thinking about genre mashups, because we're seeing more and more of them these days, and I'm wondering, do we like them? Which ones do we like? What don't we like? What shouldn't Hollywood do? What should Hollywood be doing? So guys, I'm opening up to you guys. What genre mashups in the movie world have you liked? Dan?
I suppose it's kind of the one of the most successful genre kind of hybrids that's been around for a while is horror comedies. It's kind of a rich vein. There's some bad ones. What was the one a few years ago with James Corden? The Lesbian Vampire Killers. That was terrible.
Yeah.
But there's also been very good ones. And one of my favourite films growing up as a kid, and it's one of those like naughty pleasures that I probably shouldn't have seen, was Peter Jackson's Braindead. Which is a really kind of nasty, grisly splatter film, but it's also hilarious. And the first time I saw it was I was staying over at my cousin's house, and my other cousin had a friend over to stay, and I looked into the room to see what they were watching, and it was the scene where the priest is kicking ass for the Lord and he's doing his kung fu. I was like, what the hell is this? Because I was probably like 8 and I was kind of walking into the room, and they didn't want me to be there because I was 8, and they were 15 and really cool because they were in a band. And I was like, "What is this? Why is there a priest beating up zombies?" And they were like, "You're too young to watch this." And then years later, I watched it, and I just something about. I don't think it undermines the horror in the film, because it's still pretty grisly and full on, and it's not a scary, scary film, but it's some pretty disgusting things. It's kind of a disgust film, really. It's a gore film, but I think the comedy makes that film way better. Without the comedy element, I think it's pretty average.
Yeah.
But the comedy, like when the zombies start trying to like hump each other on the dining room table, stuff like that, it's really funny. So that's definitely one of my favourite horror comedies.
I guess horror and comedy make kind of good bedfellows, don't they?
Well, there's like a lot of kind of
screaming and laughing kind of go hand in hand sometimes when you're in cinema.
Well, yeah, like there's a lot of academic essays on why the two genres kind of intersect nicely. Like sometimes you find when you watch a really scary film with an audience, people will laugh to kind of slightly just kind of purge the fear.
I found that, like, when watching The Evil Dead, it's so horrific that the only thing you can do is kind of just be like, oh my God.
That's kind of the horror comedy again. But I'm talking about, like, in a really, really purely horror film where it's trying to scare you, the way that you'll relieve the tension of being scared and on edge is you'll hear people, like, tittering just because they know something's coming.
Yeah.
And it's almost a way of venting the fear.
It's funny, having got to know a few horror directors and watched them watch their films, like stand at the back of cinemas at early screenings, it's the same reaction the director has to like a comedy director waiting for the laughs. Like they're all excited and they're cracking up. The more the audience screams, the happier they become. It's a similar reaction you're trying to elicit from the audience. There's a really good one coming out called Housebound, actually, which I spoke about. Probably last week. So look out for that. I think it's going to come out in October, but that's very like Peter Jackson mix of fun. It's from New Zealand as well. Have you got, what about you, Rich? What springs to mind?
There's a few I like. So got like Shaolin Soccer, which is a good little mashup. So you got a mix of a football soccer film and martial arts film. Just really crazy cartoon kind of like visual effects in there. Like taking the basics of a football game, like soccer moves, and just really making them so elaborate and crazy that it just really works on screen, I think.
That's Stephen Chow, who actually did maybe my favourite one, because there's so much he mashes up. Have you seen Kung Fu Hustle?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got like a really violent gangster film. You've got a Busby Berkeley style musical with musical numbers. You've got serious martial arts going on and it's really funny.
Yeah.
But there's also kind of some Looney Tunes inspiration going on there. Like it's like a cartoon as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
He's brilliant at mixing stuff up.
Really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed both those films quite a lot. I think that's probably one of my favourite mashups. Shaolin Soccer, how about you?
The one that springs to mind when I think about that is From Dusk Till Dawn, just because it's so weird the way it just straight down the middle. They don't mix the genres. There's just a crime caper, like a Tarantino crime movie, and then full on vampire horror, and it's just weird. It just literally happens in the blink of an eye.
The two cars like welded together.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it from the front, or is it almost like that Father Ted moment when they're looking at the car from the front and it looks like a normal car, you go around back and it's all like dinged in.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's happened around?
It's such a weird thing to do, but I was quite brave of them.
So what's the point in a mashup? Like, what is there kind of a synergy going on here? Or do certain genres kind of overlap? For instance, like another one that's kind of name checked a lot is sci-fi and westerns.
Yeah.
There's certain things about the kind of like why they kind of are compatible.
But I guess some work and some don't. So maybe the question is, why do some work and why do some... Why didn't Cowboys and Aliens work when it should have done, when it had all the... It would, you'd feel like you had all the ingredients there, a good director, great movie stars, a huge amount of money they could spend on it to make it look amazing. It was just boring. That felt to me like it should have been a Western or a science fiction film, but when they mixed the two together, it just felt odd and out of place.
Yeah, it kind of works well when the Western kind of tropes and themes are transplanted and done in space.
Mm.
It doesn't sit that... That's a more uneasy hybrid there. I think that's more crude.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally going, oh, well, we've got a Western here, a Western setting. So it's superficially a Western. But I don't remember that film being kind of using the tropes or the patterns of a Western where you've got, like, I don't know, like encountering other people and stuff, like making particular journeys and stuff like that, or stands again. It just seems like, oh, let's throw down some aliens into a Western setting, which seems slightly less sophisticated.
Yeah. Westworld was a good one. But maybe that's a full-on sci-fi that they just sprinkled a little bit of Western on top of it. And it's maybe become known as a Western, but I guess you've got Rome in there and there's loads of other stuff going on in Westworld. Back to the Future 3, that genre mashup. It's just a Back to the Future film, isn't it?
It's Back to the Future in the trappings of a Western.
Yeah.
I think this is where it's quite difficult. Obviously, this is not exact science.
No, no.
It's kind of you just going on gut feeling.
Yeah.
But there's some that kind of just use a setting or this, like the cloth of a certain genre, but on a deeper level, it's just a standard film.
There's one that's quite good fun that's coming out soon called Stage Fright, I think it's called. And that's kind of like Glee crossed with a slasher movie. Wow. And it's quite good fun because the songs in it are really... They've taken both sides of it seriously. So the violence is really full on. But the music is, you know, it's for the most part, it is a musical. And the music, the songs are really good. Meatloaf's in it singing a song. And Minnie Driver sings a song. She's quite good. But... yeah, I don't know. I guess it's when it feels natural. Like, I think it really feels natural in Shaun of the Dead to have the horror mixed with comedy, mixed with romance. I guess no one had really done romance in that kind of movie. And that it felt like guys, you know, the guys who made that felt like they understood all three genres really well and were able to combine them without it feeling forced at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and none of those is kind of underserviced. I think you forget the kind of the romance line in Shaun of the Dead because you remember maybe more of the gratuitous scenes.
Yeah.
But it is serviced pretty well, trying to get the girl back.
Yeah. Yeah, all the way through. How about video games? Has this come up much in video games, mashing up genres?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot there. I suppose one that comes to mind, just because we're talking about Westerns, is doing Red Dead Redemption. Mm. Like, Rockstar are always kind of deeply influenced by genre. Genre cinema is a big thing for them, like they're throughout GTA series. And Red Dead Redemption, it is proper Western. Like, it the stories, the missions you go on are all kind of hark back to traditional plots in Westerns. The shots that are taken directly from, like, The Searchers. There's a shot where John Morrison stands in the doorway, just like in The Searchers. And then for the DLC, they introduced zombies. And they did a very kind of... It felt like an exploitation film. Like, really exploitative concept. Why don't we do a zombie Western? And it was probably one of my favourite bits of DLC of all time. Because it really got the fact that it was doing a very B-movie concept.
Mm.
And it really hammed it up. They even got the digital actors almost like ham up their performances. So it all kind of worked and tied together. And you had, like, you know, the colouring, the artwork they did for it looked like an old kind of exploitation poster. So I think that's probably the one that immediately springs to mind. And it's probably one of the best pieces of DLC out there because it was made by someone who gets a genre and understands why, how you would pitch that. So I can imagine another company trying to do a bit of DLC where they go, let's just put zombies in our game.
Yeah.
And it would literally be the same game presented in the same way. But I think they knew how to pitch it to the audience.
I'm surprised more people haven't. Yeah. I thought that you would have just been seen zombies thrown into everything like they have been in films and comics lately.
Yeah, there's lots of zombie games around, but they did it where it felt like what they were... By using zombies, they weren't just going, oh, let's throw loads of zombies in. They were really kind of tying in the kind of Romero kind of vibe and the like the poster art and stuff like that.
I want to play that one then.
It's really good. I've got a copy on my desk if you want to have a look.
Cool.
It's cool. I've got another film actually, which I really like. About Time.
Yep.
So 2013 film. So it's kind of like romance sci-fi, which is really good. Have you both seen it?
I've seen About Time.
Yeah, I've seen About Time.
So it's a British film, Richard Curtis film.
Yeah.
It's got great actors in it. I can't remember the Irish guy.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Dom Hall.
That's it. Domhnall Gleeson and Rachel McAdams, and it's about a guy who who finds out that when he's 21 he can start time traveling, and so he kind of goes back to when he first meets this girl and then gets it wrong over and over again until he finally gets it right. And then obviously there's a spanner in the works where he can no longer travel back in time for a certain reason, which I won't give away. And yeah, I think it's just it was a perfect balance of time travel and your classic kind of romance, British romance drama, because it didn't feel out of place at all. I thought it was really well balanced. I don't know how they did it like that, because, you know, normally you'd think it doesn't fit, it doesn't work, but I wasn't thinking, why can he travel back in time? It was like, yeah, this just fits. I really enjoyed it.
I think it's quite a sweet movie. That's kind of like high concept comedy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. What were you going to say, Chris?
No, I wasn't. I was thinking, there's a film called Somewhere in Time, actually, which you might, if you like that, you'll like that probably. That's another romance that's about time travel as well. Yeah.
That's a Richard Matheson short story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Groundhog Day has an element of, if it's not time travel, it's kind of, you know, that's romance and sci-fi, like a high concept idea. And there's another one I recommend is Outlander. Which no one
I've
went
never
to see.
Seen Outlander. It sounds bonkers.
Yeah, it was really good. It came out 5 years ago, and it's weird. Like, it's got really good actors in it. It's John Hurt, Ron Perlman, Jim Caviezel, and it's Vikings versus aliens. And it worked where Cowboys versus Aliens doesn't. Cowboys and Aliens, rather. This one does. Outlander does, and it should have been a bigger hit, and it should have spawned sequels. It's
a really cool movie.
It just works for some reason. You really like. It's fun watching the Vikings trying to deal with this modern technology and trying to understand it. And just the larger than life performances in it and the effects, although it's quite low budget, it all kind of pulls together.
Mm.
I recommend that one. But maybe we should open it up to our audience.
Yes, and we also need some feedback. We're in desperate need of feedback. We've rummaged through the sack and it's all empty.
If we don't get any feedback, Daniel will die.
Yeah. Oh,
he's fading away. You've been fading away.
Like Back to the Future.
Like the Back to the Future
photograph.
Yeah.
So please send in your feedback, as always, to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. That incredibly memorable and pithy email address. So we look forward to reading all your emails this week. Please write in so we could do a reader review section next week. So until next week, we're going to be playing and watching stuff this weekend. What is out at the cinema, Chris?
At the cinema this week is the film Sex Tape, which stars Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz. And they did the most amazing piece of publicity this week by having the iCloud reveal all these these nude photos of celebrities. Amazing tie-in.
I bet they couldn't believe their look.
Yeah. Amazing tie-in. Because I believe that the sex tape that they record is through the iCloud, that it ends up on all their friends' iPads.
Do you know the ridiculous way that all their friends can see this?
Yeah, mate, it's a terrible plot.
Because they bought all their friends' iPads for Christmas.
Yeah, Who are these relatable characters that bought
50 of their friends'
but hasn't
iPads?
He's been given loads of iPads as gifts and he's re-gifting or something. Like, none of it makes any sense.
Also, it looks weird, Jason Segel being really thin.
He lost loads of weight because he was self-conscious about taking his shirt off.
Well, I would in front of Cameron Diaz. Yeah. I'll be doing it right, Brent. Suck in the gut.
We gave it a 7.0 and said it was...
That's quite high.
Said it was a good date movie. Make of that what you will. Blame Jim if you didn't like it. They Came Together, which is a spoof comedy, which I reviewed, actually. It's Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. And it's kind of very much Naked Gun Airplane.
Okay.
But an even thinner plot than those
What's
movies
the setting?
Have. It's set in New York. It's a spoof of romantic comedies.
What, like Woody Allen
stuff? Yeah. And it's, I mean, it is funny that, you know, that those films, it's got more hits than misses in terms of joke. There's a joke every 30 seconds. Some of them are a bit dumb, some of them are a bit crude, but the two actors are really likable. And yeah, there's enough material there for them to mine, but it's very paper thin. Like, it's one of those films you'll forget about 30 seconds after you've watched it. The film called Before I Go to Sleep, coming out, which we haven't got a review of, and I don't know if we will have, but it stars Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman and Mark Strong, and it's kind of like 50 First Dates, but if it was a thriller, based on a best-selling book. I read the book, I've seen the movie, I'd read the book. The film doesn't quite nail it, but yeah, Nicole Kidman wakes up every day with her memory wiped. She's got this strange amnesia, and her husband's Colin Firth, and he has to kind of re-educate her every day as to who she is. And then she starts suspecting that maybe he's not all that he seems, this man. So it's a nice setup. The payoff isn't brilliant in the movie. It's better in the book. And then finally, The Guest, which I mentioned earlier. Dan Stevens. It's a really cool, fun genre mashup. That's the film you should go and see this weekend. I gave it a 7.8 and thoroughly enjoyed.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Yeah, we've also got a review commentary on site as well, so you can see me and you having a bit more of an in-depth chat about
it. We have a chinwag about it, plus an interview with Dan Stevens in which I ask him if he'll play Bond, and he bats the questions away without asking. And once you've looked at all that, go on YouTube and watch the interview he did this week with Susanna Reid on Good Morning Britain, because it's very funny what she says to him.
Yeah,
from 1:45.
Susanna.
It's a bit rude. But why did she not understand why it was funny?
She's too innocent. Don't tarnish Susanna with your dirty thoughts.
I won't. She's a Crystal Palace fan, so I love her. But
I love her for different reasons.
That was ridiculous. How about the games this week?
So we're still in a holding pattern before the big releases come out later this month, October, November. So this week we've got Minecraft coming eventually to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. You kind of know everything you need to know about that game, I guess, because it's been out on every single platform. Mm. But Minecraft coming to next-gen consoles, finally. And then the other big game coming out this week, and we still don't have a review of it on site because it's a review in progress, and EA got us the game when it came out, which is Sims 4. So Sims, loads of new improvements, much more in-depth character customization than ever before. But we're going to have review in progress thoughts each day this week. So if you want to like know where we're at, what we think of the game, check the site. But Sims 4 is out now.
Cool. I will look forward to playing that.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that's about it, guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
so it. Hopefully this podcast has recorded and you've made it this far. I'm sorry if it hasn't, but then you won't be able to hear this.
I've
so
made precautions as well if it hasn't.
You've made precautions. If it doesn't work out, then next week we will be flogging Rich Bear Park for the first 2 minutes of the pod.
Brilliant.
Flogging him off.
Beating him off.
Beating him off. Beating off some stiff competition.
Great, all right, well, yeah.
I don't get it.
On anyway. That bombshell, thanks for tuning in.
Best pod ever.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.